What is up, everybody? Jamie Shaw here, back at you. Season 2, Episode 4, The Absolute Basketball Podcast. Before we jump into the content that we have today, I ask the normal, if you would go ahead, rate 5 stars. If you would go ahead, comment below the content that you liked here and the content that you want to listen to in the future, and then subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it at. That has greatly helped to us as we continue to try to move forward with this podcast, get it out to more listeners, let more listeners get their information to us, so that we're able to, talk about what y'all want to hear. After you rate, after you review, after you subscribe, let's get into what we're talking about today. So today we have some coaching hires. There's been a ton of them all around the country. The carousel has gone. So I want to talk about 3 hires that I think are going to be successful. Now, these aren't the only 3 that are going to be successful, but 3 of them specifically that I think are getting to really, really good spots. I want to talk a little bit about them. I want to talk about some of the commitments that have been had, both in the transfer portal and from the high school ranks. Tennessee had a big week. Auburn had a big week. We also had Georgia that had a big week as well. So going to talk about a little bit about the commitments coming from there. We have a couple of interviews that some one-on-one interviews that we had. 4-star out of Fayette County, Georgia, Caleb Banks, as well as the fast rising Ben Middlebrooks out of Florida. Want to talk? We interviewed them last week at the Sweet 16 on the Radar event. Want to bring that audio to you. Go in about the recruitment, go in about them as players, and all that type of stuff. Real quick, 3 to 5 minute type of interviews. And then after we get through that, we're going to wrap up with the On the Radar Sweet 16. What an unbelievable event it was. There were some breakouts. There were some standouts. Want to go in depth a little bit about those players that we saw and how well they did, and talk about their futures, where they're currently at, their games, and all that type of stuff. But let's go ahead and jump right in. Again, rate, subscribe, review, wherever you're listening to it at, the Absolute Basketball Podcast. If you enjoy the content, share it with a friend. Share it on your social media. Let it be known, all that type of stuff. And thank you guys very much for listening. College hires. Number 1, got to go Chris Beard. I mean, we see what he put together. This was his dream job. I think everybody knew as his rapid climb was happening that Texas was where he wanted to be. He got the Texas job, and the first thing Chris Beard did was hire a ridiculously talented staff. He took away Chris Ogden to be his Dobo, who was the head coach at UT Arlington. He also added Rodney Terry to be his associate head coach, who was the head coach at UTEP. He brought in 2 Division I head coaches to be on his staff. Then he brought Ulrich Majeri with him along from Texas Tech, ace recruiter, his right-hand man at Texas Tech, brought him with him to Texas, and then brought Jarrett Howard, ace recruiter, big-time guy over at Kansas, down here with him. This might possibly be the best staff, the best coaching staff, top to bottom, your head coach and the 4 underneath them in the country. I mean, you got head coaches that are coming down to be Dobos. With this staff, you have guys with proven track records within that region, within that area, recruiting to that league, coming on staff there. You have head coaches to help with the X's and O's. Whenever we're putting the stuff together, I always talk about the staffs that you need. What you need ideally is you got to have recruiting. You got to have at least 1 guy on staff who's a dog, who's a guy who can go into a gym and come out with a player every single time, a guy who can be welcome into any gym in the country, and a guy who could come out with a player in any gym in the country. You need at least 1 of those guys on staff. It also helps to have, especially, Chris Beard's a little bit young. I mean, he's been a head coach for a while now, but he's still a little bit young. It helps to have an X and O's guy you can bounce ideas off of. They can help you in game strategies and all that type of stuff as well. A guy who's been there before. On the staff, and Chris Beard has an unbelievable mix of this on his staff. He's got 2 Division I head coaches there. He's got 2 noted recruiters from throughout that region, and then he's got himself, obviously, himself being probably one of the top 5 coaches in the country there. And quickly, this staff reaped its benefits. You had Utah transfer Timmy Allen, who's already committed. You also have former 5-star Kentucky transfer Devin Askew, who's already committed to Texas. So this staff has already reaped its benefits with Chris Beard there at Texas. Very excited to see what he has in the future. And I feel like this is going to be a huge success. Texas is a tough job. You look through it, even with the success that Rick Barnes had, still possibly fell a little bit short, and he ended up ultimately parting ways. Shaka Smart had some success, tons of guys in the pros, ultimately parted ways. So we'll see what Chris Beard's able to do here. off to a rip-roaring start. Number two, Craig Smith at Utah. He came over from Utah State. He was at Utah State for 3 years. All three of those years, he made the NCAA tournament. He was a combined 74-29 at Utah State. 74-29 with three NCAA tournament appearances in 3 years at Utah State was Craig Smith. Before that, overall, he's 225 and 108 combined as a head coach. He spent his first 3 years at NAIA, Mayville College. Then he went up to North Dakota for 4 years and then back to Utah State for these 3 years. He's had an unbelievable successful track record. He's now in the Pac-12. Utah, it's an area he's familiar with. You know, I think he's from the Dakotas originally. Utah State, he had huge success with for 3 years. Nemias Cata, Sam Merrill. So he had draft picks also at Utah State, NBA guys at Utah State as well. Now, that recruiting pool gets widened a little bit. While he has an understanding of that region, he knows the coaches, he knows the players, he knows the AAU players and the movers and shakers and everything in that region already. Now he's got the Pac-12 behind it. It broadens things a little bit. You know, he's able to get now, instead of just, you know, recruiting to Utah and being a niche recruiter for Utah State, you know, he can get into gyms in Arizona, get into gyms in California, get into gyms in Oregon, and even going toward the Colorados and all that of the world as well, you know, throughout the state. So he's a noted X's and O's guy, developer of talent, an eye for talent. He's able to know what he does as a coach and what fits his system and bring those players in to be able to win ball games. You know, and I just see him having the ultimate success at Utah. I mean, what does success at Utah look like? Well, contending for Pac-12 titles every couple of years, making the NCAA tournament at least every other year, if not every year. And all that type of stuff. That's what success at Utah looks like, you know. And I think Craig Smith's the guy who can get them on steady ground and stay there for a good long time and keep it going. I wrote on Rivals.com that he was the coach, you know, this was probably a month ago, that he was the mid-major coach that I knew would end up being, you know, a Power Five that won't still be where he was at. And it was either going to be Minnesota or Utah, as I wrote in the article, ended up being Utah. And I just foresee a ton of success for Smith out there at Utah with what he's already done, what he's established, who he is, and how he coaches and everything. I think this is a home run hire for Utah. Thirdly, lastly, this came down the pipeline last night, Wes Miller to Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati, they had allegations and stuff under John Brandon, and they ultimately – John Brandon let him go, let staff go. They acted pretty quickly. There was lots of talk of Ryan Peden for this one. Early on, people with no inside information whatsoever talked about Archie Miller a lot. Ryan Peden, I think, came down to one of the finalists, the assistant coach at Ohio State, and Wes Miller. And ultimately, they went Wes Miller. Huge hire, home run hire. I think it's safe to say for Cincinnati, Wes Miller, over the last five seasons. He's 125-40 at UNC Greensboro with three first-place finishes in the SoCon. You know, he's just – and of those last 5 years, he's 4-for-4 of getting in the postseason, with two of those postseasons being the NCAA tournament. Now, if you realize the SoCon is an incredibly competitive league, within that league during his time frame, he had Steve Forbes, who's now the head coach at Wake Forest. He had Mike Young, who's now the head coach – over at Virginia Tech. Both of them, well, Mike Young especially, has made the tournament his second year at Virginia Tech. So he's coaching against really good coaches, really good teams, and he's had this type of success against that. He's going up to Cincinnati, who's got a national brand. Cincinnati's got tradition, and he's also going into a good recruiting area. Wes Miller has ties into the Northeast. He has ties into the prep schools in the Northeast. He's also going to be able to recruit North Carolina still, bring them up to Ohio. Shouldn't be a problem if you know North Carolina landscape. A lot of those kids are not afraid to leave home and go elsewhere. In fact, the majority of kids within the classes go out of state. I would say 50% or above of the kids who go to Division I out of North Carolina. And remember, North Carolina has anywhere from 50 to 60 kids go in Division I every single year. I would say at least half of them probably go out of state. So he's coming from an area that he knows will still be able to get kids from North Carolina up there. He's also going into an area that has a ton of talent. And he's a name brand school up that way. You know, he'll be able to reach into Kentucky for some players. He'll be able to reach into West Virginia for some players, Indiana, Ohio, in that whole Midwest region. He'll be able to get up there. He's a very likable guy. He'll also be able to bring some guys out of the prep schools in the Northeast, a little bit closer to there as it is. So I say 125-40 over the last 5 years at UNC Greensboro, making UNC Greensboro into a regional power. There's actual conversations throughout the North Carolina landscape over these last few years. Is UNC Greensboro one of the top four teams in the state? Which was a very real conversation. You know, they knocked off ACC. If you remember North Carolina, they have North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, NC State, East Carolina, UNC Charlotte, Davidson. They have a lot of schools that are in higher level leagues than what UNC Greensboro is. App State also, you know, they're higher level leagues than the SoCon. Yet UNC Greensboro was at the top part, the very top four or five. These last 5 years as a program, Wes Miller built that. Wes Miller did that. Young up-and-coming coach. He's a superstar. He was in heavy conversations for the Wake Forest job before Forbes got it. Heavy conversations for the UNC job before Hubert Davis got it. He's been in heavy conversations for other jobs as well. This is the one that he landed on, University of Cincinnati. And I'm excited to see what Wes Miller is able to do up at Cincinnati. You know, so those are the three guys, Chris Beard, Craig Smith, Wes Miller, at Texas, Utah, and Cincinnati, respectively. Those are three great coaching hires throughout this coaching carousel that I foresee having a lot of success where they landed. Now, switching over, big week in recruiting. We'll start off, Walker Kessler. I think that's kind of the big thing of where it all went. He decommitted, or I guess he announced his transfer from the University of North Carolina. Immediately, talk was of him going to Gonzaga. Gonzaga goes on this huge run. You know, and they've had a lot of success recently with bigs going from Zach Collins to, you know, the mountain of a man, Primo Karnowski, and then even on to this year with Drew Timmy and all that. You know, so it made sense. You know, Walker Kessler going out to, you know, they had Kyle Wilcher a couple years ago, came from Kentucky, so taking the transfer and having success with him and doing all that. The Gonzaga stuff made sense. But at the end of the day, this one came down to Auburn and UNC. Apparently, Kessler, his relationship was a little bit rocky with Roy Williams. So before Roy Williams announced, obviously Kessler announced that he was leaving. Once Roy Williams retired, it opened the door back up for Hubert Davis to get back in with Walker. You know, obviously with Roy last year, he averaged 4 points in 8.8 minutes per game. Arguably, he was talked about by people you know, who are in practice, people who are close to the UNC staff, people who are on the UNC staff, as being the best pro prospect on the team. You know, but he went on to average eight minutes, 4 points per game, and ultimately ended up at Auburn. You know, there was a nip and tuck. I don't want to say battle, but there was even talk the night before of him going to UNC. UNC was the deal. He spent the weekend before. He's got a lake house. His family has a house down almost close to Auburn. So he was at Auburn the weekend before, a couple days before he committed. It was said that he was going to commit to UNC even as recent as the night before, and then ended up going to Auburn. Bruce Pearl got it done. Now, what does this look like for Auburn? Well, Auburn returns a ton of talent from last year's team. Alan Flanagan, 14 points a game. Jamal Johnson, 9.4 points per game. Jalen Williams, 6'8" forward, 11 points per game. You got JT Thor, who announced for the NBA draft. Right now, he's not projected to get picked. We'll see what happens if he stays in or not. But his 6'10" body coming back with 9.4 points per game as well. And then in the class coming in, you got Trey Alexander, whose rivals 150, number 70 in the country, a 6'4" wing. And then you also have the big guy, Jabari Smith, coming in, 6'10". He's a top five guy, unanimously in the country, McDonald's All-American, all the awards, Georgia Player of the Year, all that type of stuff as well. Dad, former pro, went to LSU. You know, so the Walker Kessler, Jabari Smith front line will be interesting. They'll have shot making. They'll have slashing ability from the wings. The question will be, who will replace Sharif Cooper? Sharif Cooper, 20 points per game. He's going to go to the NBA. He's going to be a top half of the first round pick in the NBA draft this season. They lose that. The big question mark for Auburn is going to be who is going to be the point guard, who's going to be the creator, who's going to be the playmaker, because they have a lot of talent on this team, especially if JT Thor ends up coming back. The JT Thor, Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler front court trio will be as talented as anybody in the country. You know, you look through the front court trios of all over the place, and this one will be as talented, if possibly, quite possibly, the most talented front court trio, front court period, that the nation has. So he went to Auburn. He ruffled some feathers a little bit on that one, shook the bushes some, and it'll be fun to see how it plays out. You know, Auburn has a lock on Georgia. They do a great job recruiting Georgia. Walker Kessler, obviously from Georgia. So we'll see. Moving on, Jabri Abdur-Rahim, Virginia transfer, obviously the son of Sharif Abdur-Rahim from Marietta, Georgia. So there's some familiarity with the Abdur-Rahim family and the Georgia area, as well as, you know, obviously Sharif graduated high school, Marietta, Georgia, and everything. Went on to have a great pro career and all that. Jabri was a top 50 prospect consensus coming out. Went to Virginia, entered the transfer portal after his first year at Virginia this past year. And his transfer went kind of quietly. Then all of a sudden it popped up. He's committed to Georgia. In talking with the Georgia staff, got a pretty close relationship with him and everything. They said that they thought that he was coming and everything, but there was just no smoke around it. And all of a sudden it popped up that he was coming. Now, what does this mean? Well, Georgia it is an interesting team right now. They're bringing back their leading scorer, Sabir Wheeler, 5'10" point guard, just crafty and quick as all get out. He's the type of guy that if you get to see him on the playground, get to see him in one-on-one type games, it's an absolute blast. The things that he does with the ball, his wizardry with the ball, his ability to get into the paint off his spots and all that type of stuff, ton of fun to watch. Their second leading scorer, KD Johnson, also a point guard. He's about 5'11" as well. Tough-minded, just burst and explosion and grittiness and toughness. Just everything that you want at the forefront of your lineup. And, you know, coming back also, Justin Kyer. He was a grad transfer last year out of George Mason. He's got the option to come back again this year. So we'll see. As of right now, I don't think he's announced, but he slated the possibility of coming back. Ty Fagan as well, 9.4 points per game, also a 6'3" guard. And in their class coming in, Cam McDowell, 6'5" guard, and then 6'10" Ty Rucker, who chose Georgia over the likes of East Carolina, Western Kentucky, and Virginia Tech. They seem to be guard heavy. Obviously, losing to Monte Kamara to the transfer portal, 6'8", their second leading scorer. I believe it was at 7 rebounds per game as well. It'll be interesting to see how they fill up that front court. But looking at this team, Jabri Abdur-Rahim, I mean, he comes in and gives an ultimate talent boost. I mean, there's talk of him being an NBA guy. If Tom Crean knows anything, it's NBA wings, going all the way from Victor Oladipo, Dwayne Wade. You got Anthony Edwards, and the list goes on. OG Anunoby. The list goes on of NBA wings that he's developed. Jabri Abdur-Rahim's coming in here. And he could be the next guy in line. They have a nice little core around him to let him come in, be the man, and they have some other pieces around him that could accentuate him pretty well. It'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward to get the center spot set. But if there's one thing about Tom Crean also developing wings, but he's a great tactician. He understands X's and O's, so he'll be able to develop Abdur-Rahim's overall game, you know, his handle, his footwork, and all that type of stuff, but he'll also be able to get him into spots to make plays, which is huge in showcasing your game for the NBA scouts, all that type of stuff. He'll be able to get Abdur-Rahim into spots to be able to make plays. Tom Crean's really good at that. And then lastly, Tennessee. What a week Tennessee has had. Today is Thursday. They had a 5-star commit, Brandon Huntley Hatfield. Yesterday, Wednesday, they had a high 4-star, almost 5-star, Jonas Adu commit. And the day before that, they had a 3-star, Quentin Dibujioba, who committed, who Rob Cassidy over at Rivals.com thinks is one of the biggest sleepers in the class. This, again, is added on to Auburn transfer Justin Powell, 6'5" wing, who's come in already. Jemai Mishak out of California, 6'4", top 75 player in the country in the 2021 class. And then Kennedy Chandler, who's in the conversation for top point guard in the 2021 class, is what Tennessee's class looks like. I mean, talk about a talent upgrade. You go in here, you lose Jaden Springer, and you lose Keon Johnson, who are going to be top half of the first round probable lottery picks. You know, they were part of Tennessee's number 6 overall class last year in the team rankings, both Springer and Keon Johnson. And then they have E. Pons, who has also declared for the NBA draft. There's a very good chance that he might go as well. Eve Pons, 6'6", just a physical specimen, both with his build, his frame, his length, and his just absolute explosion. Still a little bit raw, but those physical tools, given his age, is still very, very appealing to NBA scouts. So there's no doubt that if he does jump in, he'll be in second round consideration, but he'll also probably land on G League two-way type contracts as well. If he goes, we're still waiting to hear what John Fulkerson is going to do. He was a senior last year, but he missed some time due to the errant elbow Omar Payne threw to him. It gave him a concussion, knocked him out, didn't know where he was, missed a couple games because of it, and then came back for the tournament, wasn't 100%. Or did he come out? I don't think he came back for the tournament. I don't think he played. But, yeah, so we're still waiting to hear what Fulkerson is going to do, which obviously he was a starter last year. This team also had Drew Pember, they had Corey Walker, who transferred out, who front court depth. So coming back, what Tennessee has, they have the 6'3" Bascuvi, who averaged 8.9 points per game last year. They have the 6'7" former McDonald's All-American Josiah James with his 8 points and 6 rebounds. And then they have Victor Bailey, 10.9 points, 6'4" wing as well. You add to that 5-star Kennedy Chandler. You add to that 5-star Brandon Huntley Hatfield. You add to that, you know, high 4-star, possible 5-star moving forward. We'll see 7-footer Jonas Adu. Then Jemai Mishak, and then Iobo as well. The depth, the talent of this team, they have you know, this Tennessee team. And again, if you notice, all three of these teams are SEC teams. So the SEC – absolutely loaded next year. Alabama still has a ton coming back, and they had some great stuff in the transfer wire as well. You know, Musselman's doing some stuff at Arkansas. Florida has had some great guys come in as well. So the SEC is going to be loaded for bear next year. And Tennessee is a team who has the talent to possibly be at the very top of that when adding, you know, all this type of stuff. Kennedy Chandler, McDonald's All-American. Josiah Jordan James, McDonald's All-American. You know, Victor Bailey has had success, 11 points per game from the wing there in Vescovi. You know, he's a guy that you can rely on to do a lot of things, shoot the ball and handle a little bit as a secondary type guy at 9 points per game. And then the front court, the perfect complementation of Jonas Adu and Brandon Huntley Hatfield. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, he likes to have the ball on the perimeter. He likes to be facing. He likes to put it on the floor for a couple of dribbles, pull up either for the 18-foot jump shot off of two dribbles, catch and shoot threes, do all that stuff. Jonas Adu, more of a low post presence. He's got that go-to move over his right shoulder with his left jump hook. He's developing stuff from the short corner, from the dunker spot as a rim diver, able to dunk the ball with authority, given his 7-foot frame with his 7'3" wingspan. He can also step out. He can act as a pick and pop guy. He can act as a trail big. And a great thing about both of Huntley Hatfield and Jonas is they can both rebound the basketball and push the break, initiate the offense, get you out on your wings and make a play, which is a huge asset. You know, obviously you get the rebound, point guard coming back to the ball, then going forward, as opposed to just grabbing the rebound, pushing the break, getting out the pitch ahead to the half court or to the hash mark, wherever they can start the offense and stuff. It saves, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds in each possession being able to do that. So very excited to see what Auburn brings to the table if they can get that point guard position set up. Great job getting Walker Kessler there, adding to that class. Very excited to see what Jabri Abdur-Rahim does at Georgia. Great guys over there. They need to get a couple front court players added in here, but they have some stuff. Sahvir Wheeler, Katie Johnson, and now Abdur-Rahim are all three you know, possible all league type of guys, you know, first, second, third honorable mention teams, all league type of guys there in the SEC. And then going to Tennessee, they may have as much talent on that roster as anybody with these guys coming in. So very excited to see how that plays out, what that does. Moving on, we're going to jump on over here. We have the number 120 ranked player in the 2021 Rivals 150, Caleb Banks, lined up for this conversation. We talk about his recruitment. We talk about his game. We get a little bit specific with everything. So here is the Fayette County star, Caleb Banks. Thank you guys very much.
Current height, weight?
6'8", 195. Height and weight.
Yeah. So how would you describe your game? What do you do well? What do you bring to the floor?
I'm a versatile player on offense. I feel like on defense, I'm also versatile as well. I can guard 1 through 4, 5 if I get work on my strength and getting bigger. Yeah, I just feel like I can bang with the big guys and handle the little guys.
Offers-wise, where do you stand right now?
Right now, I currently have a couple over 5 offers. Georgia, Georgia Tech, Alabama, South Florida. Mississippi State, Xavier, name some. I got a couple more interests as well.
So let's start and go through them real quick. You said Georgia and Georgia Tech were the first two, right?
No, the first two was Mississippi State and Georgia.
All right. So tell me, how do you fit into the Georgia? What do you know about the program? What coach is recruiting you?
Right now, the head coach of Georgia recruited me, Tom Craig, and this is the coach, Coach Dollar. They're just telling me good stuff, how they think I can come in there, be the next guy to go to the NBA, stuff like that, and fit in with their program.
What about Mississippi State? What do you know about the program? Which coach is recruiting you? How do you fit in?
Mississippi State, they're just telling me to keep going up. They like the big wings. I feel like I can fit in that spot for them.
And then you said South Florida? So tell me about South Florida. What do you know about them, all that?
Right now, South Florida, I know they're in South Florida, of course, that. But right now, they're just telling me I can come in right away, get a lot of playing time, affect their team, major, and be a big factor in their program in the future.
And what about Xavier?
Xavier, same thing as well as South Florida, pretty much the same thing.
So what do you know about the Xavier program? Do you know how they play? Have you seen any of their games or anything?
I really didn't get to catch much of Xavier this year. But I'll do my little research when I get my decision, break down my top 5 and top 10 and stuff like that.
Good deal. And speaking of your top, well, so we hit 4 there. What other schools were there? Were there any others?
Offer or interest?
Offer.
I think I said everybody.
Okay. So what schools that maybe haven't offered yet you think might be close?
Indiana, Florida State, Virginia Tech. Clemson. I forgot to mention Clemson. Clemson offer. That's pretty much right now.
Well, tell me about the Clemson program. What do you know about them and all that type of stuff? What coach is recruiting you?
Coach Dean is recruiting me from Clemson. We have as much of a Zoom is. They've just been telling me stuff about the program, how they're getting like the program. The benefits of going to this school would be for me. And Clemson's not as far from my house either. That's good. Yeah.
So do you have a time frame as to when you want to narrow down? You mentioned a couple times, top 5, top 10 or whatever. Do you have a time frame when you want to narrow down and then commit by?
I definitely want to narrow down during this summer, maybe July time. Narrow it down then, but then when I want to commit, probably in the fall, this fall.
And now moving on, let's go on to what I saw last weekend at the On the Radar Sweet 16 event. This event was absolutely loaded. You know, being on the other side of it, of being able to attend events and actually watch players now as opposed to putting on events. This was probably in the past 5 years, gosh, not since the event that we put on down in Spartanburg, where we partnered with Adidas a little bit. I can't remember what event that was, but that was the first July live period event. When they had the Adidas Gauntlet finale, they sent their B teams and all of their silver bracket teams over to the event that we did. I was able to work out and get most of those teams there. We had teams from, Colorado, Texas, Michigan, et cetera, all the way up and down the East Coast and stuff. In that event, that thing was absolutely loaded. John Morant, Nick Claxton, Aaron Nesmith, Gracious Kyler Edwards, Shamil Stevenson. The list goes on and on and on. So since that event, this was probably the most loaded AAU event that I've been to that was not a non-circuit, that was an independent type of event. So kudos to what Sean Williams was able to do. I want to go through my standouts and my breakouts. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, four standouts written down for you, five standouts written down for you. Then I have four breakouts. We'll go through them briefly. We'll talk about each player with their prospects, where they stand in our rankings, some of their offers and what they are. We'll start off the easy one, Jet Howard, the Knight Riders. Obviously, he's the son of Juwan Howard, played at IMG Academy this year, 6'5", 6'6", wing. Again, he played with the Knight Riders on the EYBL team. He was at IMG this whole past season. Michigan, Vanderbilt, Florida, Tennessee offers. The thought process is he's going to go play for his father, Juwan, up at Michigan. You know, he's a very, very good guard. He's just a solid wing prospect. You see teams like Villanova, Virginia, kind of get guys like Jet with his ability. He can handle the ball. He can shoot the ball. He can create a little bit of offense. He can act as a secondary ball handler. He can get downhill. He's got an unbelievable frame to him. Right now we have him ranked, I believe, at 65 or so in the 150. There's a pretty good chance that he'll move up some. He's featured with his Knight Riders team. He was just another guy on a loaded IMG team this past year. His being able to be featured here, his ability to be the focal point, the shot maker, the creator, the one who, when the shot clock runs down, they get it to make a play, really will enhance what he is and what he's able to showcase as a guy, as a player, as a prospect with this team. But good overall showing for him. He's just super solid. He's a guy that you look at, and he has no real, like, standout, uber standout quality. Just like he's a, you know, but he also has no deficiencies in his game. He's able to defend. He's able to shoot. He's able to pass. He's able to rebound. Makes people better. Makes the team better. Great team glue guy. With that, he's going to lead to a lot of wins. He's going to be a starter for a team that gets a lot of wins in the future. Jet Howard, standout number one. Now, Sean Phillips, probably the most dominating player that I saw in the event. He's 6'10", about 250, 260 pounds. He played this weekend for the Georgia Stars. He played at Yipsey Prep this past year with the Imani Bates team. Yes, he is exactly what you would think 6'10", 260 plays like. You know, he's got offers currently Dayton, NC State, Cincinnati, Indiana, Ohio State, Xavier. He's from that Midwest area. He's originally from Ohio. Played last year in Michigan with the Yipsey Prep team. Now he's down here with the Georgia Stars. He looked like – I likened him to what Neon Bedeau, Shaq's character in Blue Chips, what he looked like playing when Nick Nolte went to go first scout him. Just a man amongst boys. And remind you, he's going up against in this event a top 100, top 150, a high major big in every single game. Guys who are 6'9 to 6'11 in every single game that he's playing here. And his footwork, his ability to back his man, to bury his man on the block, throw a huge target, catch it, feel the defender, pass it out if there's a double team coming to where the double team came from, or make a move if it's one-on-one. If it's one-on-one, nobody in this event that he played against in the four games was able to guard him one-on-one because his array of size, explosion, his footwork, his touch, he was drop-step dunking, trying to dunk on everybody. He played with a ferocity. He was an excellent rebounder, his bear claw hands and all that type of stuff. Now, how he projects moving forward is going to be interesting. Right now, we currently have him ranked 61st in the country. How he projects forward is going to be interesting because his game style is not necessarily conducive to the NBA. You know, he doesn't shoot that much outside of 10 to 15 feet. His switching stuff on pick and rolls will be interesting to see how that plays out. But he is somebody who can be dominant and who will be dominant at the collegiate level. And we'll put up massive numbers. And as he continues to grow his body, as he continues to, continues to grow his game, he will only become more and more dominant and all that stuff too. So we got him right now, Rivals 150, number 61, Sean Phillips, Georgia Stars. Next up, Julian Phillips. He, the 2021 Rivals 150, number 28 prospect out of Blythewood High School in Columbia, South Carolina. Played with Elbert Star Southeast. He's one that just continues to get better. He's got 25-plus offers, Alabama, Florida, Florida State, Ohio State, Clemson, Kansas. The list goes on, Texas Tech. I mean, the list goes on. 25 plus offers, probably more will keep coming. He's somebody who continues just to develop, who you see it, you saw at a young age play, and you saw that he, you know, a 6'5", eighth grader finishing everything around the basket. He was just better than everybody else on the floor. As he continued to develop, he moved his game away from the basket. Now he's taking people off the bounce. What he showcased in this event is that he is an elite offensive rebounder and a high level rebounder overall. He's probably the best rebounder in this entire event. You know, the 6'8" wing, grabbing the rebounds, pushing the ball full length of the floor, under control, making the right play. A ton to like in his game. The next step in his progression will be the jump shot. You can tell he's working on it. The form's looking a whole lot better. He's taking a whole lot more confidently right now. And as that continues, as he continues to get comfortable with it, as he continues to get within the flow of it and the speed of it and all that stuff, he'll continue to make it. If he's able to get to that 35% range as a shooter, you know, then his game has gone all the way to the next level. You know, he's already a borderline five-star as a prospect, as a player. He's got an elite second jump. The first jump's quick. The second jump is off the charts. Unbelievable nose for the basketball, his ability to get to the basket, his ability to finish despite his slight frame among the trees is a very real thing. So Julian Phillips, uber productive player. He's one of those guys that's just his production is on a separate level from his peers, and he continues to do that. Malik.
Next up, we have Malik Renaud here, 6'7", Knight Riders. He's kind of a high post forward type of guy. We got him ranked number 124 right now in the 22 Rivals 150. Florida State, LSU, Oklahoma State, Seton Hall, Ole Miss offers already. He just showed to be a mismatch problem. I mean, he's a lefty. He's very left-handed. Didn't really use his right hand much, but that didn't matter because he was playing the 4 and 5 for this team with the Knight Riders, and he was able to take those guys off the bounce. He was able to get downhill and finish at the rim. He's a very, very good athlete, great length. He knocked down a couple shots off the catch, and he was able to rip through, survey the floor, get downhill to a spot, and finish at the rim. Really like the mismatch ability that he has at that spot. This is my first time seeing him, really. He played with that Montverde team this past high school season, and I like him at the 124 spot that we have. Very good prospect, very good player. Showcase there. Then Emmanuel Sharp, lastly here, the Each One Teach One guard. We have him currently number 81. His last two offers that he picked up were from Louisville and Arizona. He also has Florida, USF, and a few other ones as well. Sharp is somebody that you watch, the Bishop McLaughlin guard, again, number 81, 2022, right now in the Rivals 150. He is somebody that you watch and just see him get buckets. You don't understand it. He has a very old man's type game. Old man's type feel to him. His dad obviously played professionally overseas for a number of years as he was born, I believe, in Israel while his dad was playing overseas. Sharp can just get buckets. He's got the deep range. He's got the handle. He's got unbelievable pace. Because the thing about him, he's not an uber athlete, but he has such an understanding of footwork and pace in his game, and his skill set is so high that he just gets to his spots and gets it done. You know, it was another great performance from him. Again, USF, Louisville, Arizona, Florida, he has about 10 offers right now. There should be more that come. I believe after this event, he got a Penn State offer as well, along with his teammate, Dylan Mitchell. But that should continue to come. Emmanuel Sharp, another standout here. The standouts from the On the Radar Sweet 16, Jet Howard, Sean Phillips, Julian Phillips, Emmanuel Sharp, Malik Renaud. Now let's look at the breakouts, guys who are high up on notoriety to come. You can't have this list. You can't start this list of breakouts without Noah Clowney, the 6'10" center out of Dorman High School. He played with the Team Dickerson team out of Georgia in this event. Clowney's somebody, obviously, that you've heard me talk about over this past year as being the best big prospect in the 2022 class. We don't have him ranked yet at Rivals. He will enter the top 100 the next time as we do the 2022 rankings there. After this event, he picked up Clemson, Georgia, App State. Clemson, Georgia Tech, App State, offers Providence as well. And going into it, he already had Xavier and Virginia Tech. what he is, he's a lengthy, bouncy, athletic guy who plays really tough and really hard. Right now, defensively is really where he shines for me. His ability to sit on the perimeter, his ability to move his feet on the perimeter, and his ability to protect the rim. Those are all insanely valuable assets for fives. We've talked about over these past few podcasts here, projecting fives, and what matters really with fives is their ability to move, switch, and protect the rim. Noah Clowney has all of that in spades. His offensive game's coming along as well. He knocked down a couple threes in this event. He played great out of the dunker spots. He was able to actually face up and a couple dribbles and make a play. And it's just continuing to develop as you see the light come on, as you see the confidence grow. His body's growing now. He's 6'10", about 200, 205 maybe at this point. And as his body continues – he's only 16 years old also. As he continues to develop, he's an incredibly engaging person, very smart and articulate. His game is developing. Again, only 16 years old. There is a ton to like here. He will enter the top 100. And don't be surprised to see him continue to rise each time a rankings update is done. There's a possibility he could become one of the highest, you know, one of the higher centers in this class. You know, we got a while to go. We got this entire 22 summer and then moving into the 2022 senior year as well. So there's a lot of time to go here. Don't be afraid to see him one, or don't be surprised to see him be one that steadily climbs. Noah Clowney, Dorman High School, Team Dickerson. Another one, Chandler Jackson, was super impressed that Team Thad team as a whole. I mean, I watched them for two games. They won both games by 20-plus over really good teams, over shoe company-sponsored teams. Chandler Jackson was a driving force for them, 6'4", point guard. Very strong frame, played with great pace, balance off of 2 feet at all times. He knocked down a couple jump shots, but where he was really effective was being able to get into the paint and then make a play. He used his vision, passed the ball up either lobs or dump downs to his bigs in the dunker spots. He played it well out of the pick and roll, made great reads out of that, or kickouts even. Good facilitator, but his big, strong frame with his great pace allowed him to stay in the paint pretty regularly. And when he showed in the first game, the facilitating, the second game, he showed he could score the ball. He had, I believe, 21 points in the second game, finished at the rim, finished in the mid-range. He knocked down a three, I think, off the catch as well. Currently sitting, the Christian Brothers out of Tennessee, point guard, Wake Forest, Creighton, Vanderbilt, TCU, Alabama, Ole Miss offers. I will be bringing him up. He will be a point of conversation in the 2022 updates that we have. But Chandler Jackson, a standout. I'll be excited to see the offers he continues to get as he plays on the EYBL here with Team Thad, how the high majors continue to come in. Another one, Ernest Udeh, U-D-E-H, Ernest Udeh, Southeast Elite, Dr. Phillips High School in Florida, 6'11", currently carrying Florida Atlantic, Stetson, USF, and Florida offers. He also has a Yale offer. Big, strong player. Not big, big, lengthy player. He's strong enough. What he has is he's 6'11", he's got great hands. That immediately puts you on the radar. He had multiple plays where he was running down floor, beating his man, catching it over his shoulder and finishing with his offhand, his left hand, through contact. He had three of them that he did in the two games that I saw, two of which were for and ones, finishing with his left hand through contact. Unbelievable plays, the type of plays that you sit there and looking like, man, 6'11 guys just don't make that play. He also showed the ability on the block, put his back to the basket, finish over his left shoulder with his right hand, couple alley-oop dunks playing out of the dunker spot, good screener, set in great angles, rolled well to the basket and stuff. He's the type of guy that's, you know, right now his recruitment doesn't detect. Obviously, you have that Florida offer that stands out a little bit, but his offer list doesn't quite get to his talent level yet. You know, he's the type of guy that, again, when you see him play, you know, he might not necessarily pass the look test, but as you watch him, he just does some things that are not natural for guys pushing 7 feet to be able to do. He finishes, he's productive, he blocks shots, he rebounds it, and all that as well. So Ernest Udeh, 6'11", Southeast Elite, Dr. Phillips High School, he'll be playing on the Adidas Gauntlet. So he's one who should see his stuff continue to progress. And then lastly, MJ Collins. MJ Collins walked away. You know, obviously me being from North Carolina, I probably had every single time Team Curry playing, I could tell, even if I wasn't watching Team Curry, I could tell Team Curry was playing because I would either get a text or somebody would walk up to me at the event. Hey, what's this MJ Collins guy? Tell me about this MJ Collins guy. Anybody that's been listening, reading what I've been writing for the past 8 months understands that MJ Collins is the best shooting guard in North Carolina in the 2022 class. 6'4", Westminster Catawba Christian. What's unique about that, Westminster Catawba is located in Rock Hill, South Carolina. However, they play in the North Carolina Independent School League. Right now, after this event, he picked up Charleston Southern, App State offers just prior to the event about a month earlier or a week earlier, picked up Murray State, and he's got a couple other ones as well. He's right on the verge of the high major stuff. He's right there teetering in between mid-major, high major player right now. High major should probably start coming in on him. What he does at a supreme level is shot make. He's originally from, I believe, Clover, South Carolina. He went to Gaston Day his first couple years of high school, transferred to Westminster Catawba in Rock Hill, South Carolina, this past season. But as I said, what he is a shot maker, a 6'4" off guard. He makes shots at every level. He can create for himself off the bounce. He can shoot it off the catch at a high clip. Just a beautiful jump shot with good length. He's got pop to his game. He can get downhill and dunk on you on all that type of stuff. But he's the type of player that I think high majors will start to jump in on as he, you know, Team Curry last year, they had an incredibly talented team, 10 guys. I think everybody on the roster went Division I. You know, typically previously in the past, you know, when they were PSB Elite and all that type of stuff, they had one guy that they really featured, you know, the Caleb Mills of the world, that they really featured, who were able to just jump up and get a ton of stuff going. MJ Collins could be that guy this year. He could be the guy that they really feature, especially once Caleb Foster comes back. You have Caleb Foster, Elijah Jamison. You have him here. You have Christ Essendoko on the block. And then you have a mismatch of other players, you know, the Chauncey Wiggins of the world, the Elijah Grays of the world. You know, the Kate Tysons of the world who can fill in their roles and play some supporting stuff there. So it'll be interesting to see how it continues to play out for MJ Collins. You know, he will probably be in conversation for the Rivals 150. Not sure if he's quite there yet, but he will be in the conversation for it as well. As well, Chandler Jackson, Ernest Uda, and Noah Clowney. All four of those guys will be in the conversation for the Rivals 150. Clowney, I can assuredly tell you, will probably go in the top 100. The rest of them will be in the conversation. And all those guys who were standouts will also be in the conversation for bumps. You know, we'll see. That's the beautiful thing about coming in and having this conversation and doing the rankings and getting multiple viewings of guys and you know, having multiple guys involved in the rankings. So there you have it. We started off with the college coaching carousel. We went on to commitments. Had a great interview from Caleb Banks out of Fayette County, 4-star prospect, going in here on the radar, Sweet 16 from last week. And now we're going to close it out with another interview. Ben Middlebrooks out of Florida. He played with the Each One Teach One AAU program. He's got 15 or so offers right now. We talk about his game. We talk about who's standing out. We talk about the possibility of 21 or 22 for him in that. But before we get going here, before we let you listen here to Ben Middlebrooks, I want to go ahead and ask you again, subscribe, rate, review this podcast, whatever you're listening to. Please rate it 5 stars. Please go ahead and let me hear what you want. What you want to hear, what topics you want to hear me cover moving forward. And please subscribe to it. And if you enjoy the content, don't be afraid to share it across your platforms as well. Love to get the listens, love to get the viewership and everything. And please don't be bashful with the comments and all that stuff. But until next time, guys, thank y'all so much for tuning in. Go ahead and make sure you check out my YouTube channel, Absolute Basketball Experience with Jamie Shaw. We got tons of interviews previously that we've had with Division I coaches, Division II coaches. We also have some player breakdowns. We also have some player interviews, high school interviews, pre-NBA draft stuff from last year, and a ton of mixtapes and all that type of stuff too. So make sure you go check that out, Absolute Basketball Experience with Jamie Shaw. Subscribe to that, please. And thank you. Check me out on social media, Jamie_Shaw5 on Instagram and JamieShaw5 on Twitter, after you rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. But without further ado, here is Ben Middlebrooks. Thank y'all so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Current height, weight?
I'm like 6'11", and I'm like 227.
How would you describe your game, and what do you bring to the table?
Really, I mean, just being able to like, do everything, being able to go inside and outside, depending on where the mismatch is, you know, being able to shoot the three if they step off, and if they switch a little man, being able to go down low and just expose weaknesses.
Offer-wise, you got a ton of them right now. What schools that have offered would you say you're hearing from the most right now?
Right now I'm hearing a lot from from Ole Miss, from Dayton, and from Clemson right now. Play top people.
All right, so let's start with Ole Miss. What do you know about the program? What coach is recruiting you, and how do you think you'll fit in?
So right now, I've been talking to Coach Hamilton and Coach Kermit, so I mean, I'm talking to both of them a lot. And I mean, I watched them a lot in their season. I mean, came really close to making the tournament, but I mean, had a lot of great guys. And I mean, really just like their type of style of offense, like a pro style offense, being able to let bigs shoot and stuff like that. And really just being able to let bigs be a big part of their offense, which I like a lot.
And what about Dayton? What do you know about the program and how do you think you fit in there and what coach is recruiting you?
From Dayton, I mean, really, it's a similar thing. And that's like what I'm looking at most from almost all my schools is somewhere that has this type of offense I feel like I'd fit in. So, I mean, again, just the same type of thing where I feel like I just fit into their offense and they let me go to play like I'd be able to fit in there.
And then what about Clemson? I mean, obviously, you know, the type of offense and everything, but like,
yes,
what do you
sir.
Know about the program and
right.
all that with Clemson?
So, I mean, obviously, ACC school, which is big time. I mean, ACC is probably, I mean, best conference in the country right now. I mean, and I mean, part of it is my sister plays tennis there, which is another thing. So I've been able to see the campus and stuff like that. I mean,
beautiful campus.
School, beautiful campus. And I got good at football, everything like that. So, I mean, Clemson has a lot to offer.
What schools haven't offered yet you think possibly might be close or that will be looking closely at you this summer?
So right now I've been talking to Virginia and FSU right now. I haven't offered yet, but I have been talking to them a lot. And so hoping to see if I can get something done there.
And you speak about the system. The system's going to be what you look for and stuff. What system do you think you fit best in? What type of system?
Really somewhere where, be able to run in the trail or be able to set screens, screen and pop, screen and roll, and places like that. So really just where that is a big part of the offense.
And then anything else that you're going to be looking for during this process for a school?
What do you mean?
Anything else that you're going to be looking really hard at, like they'll help your decision? Like, I mean, location, development, coaching?
Right. I mean, obviously the biggest thing for me is development. So somewhere, because I want to play after college, obviously. So I was somewhere where I feel like it can develop me and is going to prepare me for that next level.
And then do you have a time frame as when you're going to look to narrow things down or when you're going to eventually try to commit?
Probably at least towards the end, I mean, the UIBR circuit and stuff like that, just because it's so hard right now. Yeah. Everything shut down with COVID. So, I mean, once stuff starts to open up a little bit with that and coaches can start coming out, that's probably when I'm going to try and narrow it down.
And there's been talk about 22 or 21. Are you going to stay 22 or are you looking at the 21 situation?
I've said I'm going to go to Calvary Christian Academy in my 22 if I stay. So, I mean, really it just comes down to the school situation. I mean, if the right school comes along and I feel confident in somewhere I'm going to be able to go and play, then I will make the decision for 21. But as of right now, I'm going 22.
Perfect.